The Holy Spirit. So, Team Grace, I was reminded of a story I heard some time ago of a convent. The Mother Superior of the convent was very, very beloved by the sisters. She had served for so long that she had actually helped many of the sisters discern their calling, had helped form them as young religious. And so when Mother's time came to pass from this life to the next, it was very sorrowful for the sisters. Mother was actively dying, and the sisters were come. They were so heartbroken. They could see that Mother was in great pain. So the second in charge, she realized how much pain Mother was in. So that sister, second in charge, asked Mother, "Would you like to take some medication in order to alleviate the pain?" Mother refused, said that she instead wanted to offer up the pain for the spiritual well-being of the sisters. So the second in charge wanted to understand and appreciate that, but she just saw more and more how Mother was just suffering so much. So every evening, Mother would have a tall glass of milk. So without Mother's knowledge, the second in charge began to spike the milk, right, in order to help Mother get a good night's rest. So this happened for her last few days, and then Mother was actively dying. The time had come. All the sisters came. They're all surrounding Mother. They're all crying and so heartbroken that Mother's dying and so on. They're there. Right before Mother dies, the second in charge says, "Mother, do you have any wisdom for us before you leave this life for the next?" Mother looks at all the sisters. They're crying and heartbroken. She looks at all the sisters and she says, "Sisters, love one another. Love one another. And whatever you do, do not ever sell that cow." All right, so maybe that's just Irish humor, but I found that very funny. In our story, however, Mother was preparing for eternal life. We each have this same work. We don't have to wait until we're actively dying to prepare well. In fact, the time is now. Our spiritual preparation, of course, is the most important work that we're going to do. But there are other things that should also be done, such as drafting a will, signing up as an organ donor, and pre-planning our funerals. As a reminder, our director of sacred music here at Our Lady of Grace is available to any parishioner who would like to pre-plan their funerals. And it has been the funeral that has been our focus here as a parish family during this Advent season. Today we conclude our homily series on the Catholic funeral. The fourth Sunday of Advent is appropriately focused on Christmas, so we will focus on that next week. And we conclude our series on the funerals this week. Again, that first part of Advent being about eternal life, the second coming, our preparation for judgment. As we think about the funeral liturgy itself, it's important for us to reflect on its beauty, its power. The first thing I'd like to remind us is that in the Catholic Church, everyone dies an emperor. It doesn't matter who you are, president of the United States, a powerful person, a wealthy person, or just a homeless person that died on the side of the road. Everyone dies an emperor. Everyone receives the same funeral, and our funeral masses are beautiful and spiritually powerful. Everyone dies an emperor in the Catholic Church. And so again, it doesn't matter who you are. In fact, so oftentimes when I've celebrated funeral masses, I've had Protestants afterwards say to me, "I want something like that when I die," because they see how beautiful and powerful the Catholic Mass is. Some of them have never seen it before. And they say, "That's what I want." It's interesting that oftentimes the Protestants can have greater appreciation for our liturgical traditions than even those of us in the fullness of the faith. Do we value our funeral masses? Do we understand how important and essential they are? How spiritually powerful they are? And so let's look at the funeral mass. What does the Church want to do when she is allowed to celebrate the liturgy on her own terms and within her own tradition? First, let me remind us that the full body is always preferred during the funeral mass. The Church will allow cremains to be present, but does not prefer that. The full body is preferred because of the prayers and the work that's going to be done during the holy sacrifice for the one who has died. And again, if cremation is done, the cremains will be welcomed, but we all need to understand the preference of the Church. So oftentimes, once that's said, families will say, "Well, it will cost more money." Well, it's worth every cent, Team Grace. It's worth it. To have the full body here in order for us to understand this is a body, this is a human being, this is who we are praying for, this is the one that the Church is ministering to. So it's important to have the full body present. As we look at the funeral liturgy, we see that it follows the same symbolism as baptism. If you watch a Catholic baptism and then you watch a Catholic funeral mass, you might be shocked by the similarity between the two. The similarity is there because baptism gives us the promise of eternal life. Many of us at the 11 a.m. have seen so many baptisms and that first promise given by God to eternal life. And of course, during the Catholic funeral mass, we are calling on God to honor that promise as we remind the body of believers of the promise they have received at their own baptisms for eternal life. In both the baptismal and funeral liturgies, we see the church's use of water, a white cloth, and a burning candle. The water represents the purification from sin. The white cloth, holiness, and the preparation for paradise. And the burning candle is a symbol of faith in the truths of God. And each of these have their own symbolism, and each of them can be seen both again in the baptism and in the Catholic funeral mass. We can almost say the beginning and the end of our lives, the Alpha and the Omega. In the funeral liturgy, we also see the use of incense. Sometimes it disturbs me when people say, can we not have that during the funeral mass? Oftentimes it's because they don't understand what it means. Incense in our tradition represents the prayers of God's people. So every time there's incense, it's a sign that God's people are at prayer. During the funeral mass, we especially incense the body of the one who has died, showing that the prayers of God's people are surrounding that person as they prepare to transition into eternal life. In the Catholic tradition, we only incense holy things: the altar, the bread and wine that would become the body and blood of Christ, the gospel books, which contain the teachings of our Lord, the people of God as they are in worship. In the funeral mass, we also incense the body of the one who has died, because the body is holy. And that is why it is incensed. It is a holy thing, revered by people of faith. As we speak about the holiness of the body, we need to address some other cultural things that have become popular that we should not be participating in as Christians. First, let me remind everyone that cremation is not the preference of the church. The church prefers full body burial. She will now permit cremation. Some of our older Catholics can remember when that was not even permitted. So the church will permit cremation, but is not preferred. When the body is cremated, it is essential that the family and loved ones understand that that is still a human body, and it must be treated with dignity, and its sacred nature must be honored. Incidentally, this is why historically we have not allowed cremation, because oftentimes we have found even believers to indulge in paganistic practices. Historically, if we were to look to the early church, we Christians buried our dead. It was the pagans who cremated their bodies. It was the pagans who mistreated the bodies of their dead. In fact, it was exactly to distinguish us from the pagans that we buried our beloved dead. And we also understood that our bodies were going to rise in glory, which is why we laid them to rest. The word cemetery meaning the place of sleep. The unbelievers had necropolises, the place of the dead. We Christians had cemeteries. The body was only sleeping. We know that the sacredness of the body is there because the body with the soul shares in the image and likeness of God. We also know that God so reveres the human body that he took on a body in his own nature when he came to bring forth our salvation. We are called to honor the human body. As Christians, again, that lies at the very heart of our faith. So if we look at our culture, we can see things that are happening that we don't want to participate in. First, we do not put ashes in jewelry. We do not wear the ashes of our loved ones around our necks or in rings or around our waistbands. That is a human body. That would be the equivalent of having a finger or a toe hanging around your neck. We do not do that. That is egregiously offensive to the body of the one who has died. And we find that as a popular custom. Funeral directors loving it because it's quick cash. No, we do not do that as Christians. Now, I will tell you an alternative that I have seen that might be beneficial. As I have seen jewelry that has had the fingerprint of the loved one. That is something we can have. And if one wants a remembrance of their loved one, that would be an appropriate practice. We don't use the ashes, the body, in such a way. We do not sprinkle ashes on doves or put them in balloons and release them into the air. We do not sprinkle the ashes on golf courses or in lakes or anywhere else. We do not sprinkle ashes anywhere. As Christians, we bury our dead. Again, we do not mistreat the body. We do not commingle the ashes of one person with the ashes of another. And we do not commingle the ashes of a human being with the ashes of a pet. Team Grace, all of these have been requested and have led to battles with certain families because we will not permit this. And we should not even be requesting this as Christians. We don't keep the urns of loved ones in our homes. The bodies of our loved ones must be buried. They must be on sacred ground. Sacred ground is defined as the campus of a Catholic parish or a Catholic cemetery. If it is a cemetery that is not Catholic or someone has private land and a private family cemetery, that plot must be blessed by a Catholic priest or deacon. We bury our dead and we bury them on consecrated ground. It has been shocking to me to go into the homes of some believers and there on the mantle is the urn of their loved one. It puts me in an incredibly difficult situation. I am both bound by hospitality as their guest, but also bound to teach them as their priest. We do not keep urns of loved ones in our homes. That is a pagan practice. And again, that is offensive to the body of our loved ones. It's important as Catholics that we understand our traditions. You see, somewhere along the line, our tradition was broken. And it was never retaught. So there are so many things that we are called to do as Catholics that so many of our own don't even understand. I suspect that most of these were requested out of a lack of knowledge. Of course, it's oftentimes disturbing that when we attempt to teach and explain, oftentimes we find nothing but defiance. You would be shocked to know how many households have left our parish because we would not indulge in these practices. Years ago, I remember this Catholic funeral director. He owned his own funeral home. He and I became friends because of other ministries we were involved with. As I got to know his funeral home, I realized that he was doing some of these things. So we sat down and we talked about it. I said, what are you doing? You can't do this. He said, oh, Father, come on. I'm a businessman. Not all my clients are Catholics. I said, but you are. But you're a Catholic. And you cannot betray your conscience. You cannot betray what you know is right. You know, in the business world, Team Grace, you need to understand this. In the business world, it is oftentimes joked that if you want to find the sellout, find a Catholic business owner. Because it's a Catholic business owner that will throw their faith under the bus and do whatever it takes to get some more money. My goodness, we can learn a lot from the Mormons and the evangelicals. Because when they have businesses, they run their business according to their faith. And they don't compromise their faith for money. But so many of our own do. You know, it's even a joke among priests. If you need work done at the parish, don't get a Catholic-owned business because they'll cheat you. And that's true, in large part. We have some work to do with our Catholic business owners. I remember speaking to this owner, though, this funeral home, saying, you can't do this. Oh, Father, you don't understand. You got to be realistic. Oh, I'm very realistic. And so you cannot do this. This is a desecration of the human body. Well, needless to say, are you surprised that ended the friendship? And honestly, we just went our separate ways. I didn't hear anything from him until many years later. Years later, I got this random out-of-the-blue phone call from him. Say, hey, Father, so-and-so. Oh, yeah, how are you doing? He said, hey, Father, do you remember that conversation we had years ago? I said, I do, actually. I've been praying for you. He said, well, I need to let you know I lost the business. A large corporation came in and just took it right out from under me. So I lost a family business, gone. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. He said, I think God let that happen. Because I didn't listen to what you were telling me. And so first of all, that's the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you this. God cannot bless sin. And God will not bless the desecration of the human body. Now perhaps this man had to learn it the hard way. I pray we do not. I pray that our faith compels us to understand the sacredness of the human body and we treat it well. That we understand the power of the Catholic funeral. That we listen to the traditions and the customs of the church, that we trust the church as we grieve and pray for our beloved dead. If you allow some personal reflections, Over the past year, I've been very disturbed as so many of our own have just passed on funeral masses for their beloved dead. Shocked. Spiritually just shocked. I could not imagine that. As I reached out to Brother Priest and said, hey, are you experiencing this too? And they came back to the one and said, yes, funeral masses are gone. And then we looked at the Pew research that was available. And admittedly, there's not a lot. That might be the request I send to the next round of research. But we began to realize that the Catholic funeral was disappearing. People just weren't doing it anymore. So I realized, it's like, we need to teach. I need to explain to my parish and the people under my care how important the funeral mass is. And again, that tradition was so strong, it was broken. And we haven't picked it back up and we haven't retaught it. So I was sharing this with my mother. I said, I think for Advent, I'm going to do a homily series on the Catholic funeral. And my mom said, are you sure you're going to be able to do that? Some of you might know my father died last December. She said, are you sure you're going to be able to do that? I said, I think I can. I think I have to. And Team Grace, I felt compelled to do that, not simply as your pastor, but as your fellow believer. Let me share with you my experience and my family's experience with the church's wisdom. First of all, my family, we're a bunch of hot-headed, arrogant Irish people. Huh? It's a shock to you, I know, isn't it? Get five of us together, you're going to get seven opinions, huh? And someone's willing to fight for one of those opinions. It can get loud, it can get boisterous, that's called family, huh? But I'll tell you this, when it came to the planning, my family was completely deferential to the church. In fact, one of my cousins said, the church knows what it's doing. It's been doing this long enough. And we deferred to the church when we made all the arrangements. So the night before my father's funeral, we had the wake. And that was a celebration of my father's life. He was there in his casket with his nice military uniform on. People came. We had food and celebration, laughter. We swapped stories. It went on for hours. People that we had not seen in years, friends of my father I had never met from his early military time, came in order to visit and spend time. My mother said it was like her whole life just moved in front of her from different friends and stories all throughout her and my father's life together. We did not have the rosary because we were celebrating his life. I have to tell you, it was so close to Christmas that the funeral parlor forgot to order the food. So we show up, there's no food. Well, right next to the funeral home in Columbia is a Piggly Wiggly. So we went to the Piggly Wiggly and just got some potato chips and some sandwiches from the deli. And we had to laugh about that because he said that's what Dad would have preferred. My father wouldn't have liked the fancy food. He would have wanted the chips and the sandwiches, right? We can imagine Dad saying, I'm sticking with the pig, right? Our prayers were at the end when everyone left. It was just our family. We assembled around my father's casket and we had our prayers as a family. But we let ourselves celebrate my father's life during the wake as the church asked us to. The next morning we went as a family in sorrow, broken, grieving, as mourners with empty hands to the church. And we participated in the prayers of the church and the holy sacrifice of the church for the soul of my father. We participated in the church's ministry as a holy sacrifice was offered for him. And it was beautiful. Family members say, oh, we want this. Church doesn't allow that. Okay, don't do it. We want this. Church doesn't allow it. Don't do it. We let the church, in her wisdom, celebrate her funeral mass for my father. And it was beautiful. It was beyond anything that we could have thought to have organized or constructed. And then after the funeral, we moved to the graveside. There we had people talk a little bit, and my father, the only thing he asked for was a bagpiper. Please not have a bagpiper during a funeral mass. Those things are way too loud, right? But instead, we had it at the graveside. The bagpiper was there. We had a few comments made, and then the military did their military honors. Folding of the flag, the 21-gun salute, and then my family and close friends went to my mother's house for a small meal. We trusted in the church. We allowed the wisdom of the church to guide us in our grieving and in our prayers for the soul of my father. And there was immense consolation, both in the knowledge of what was being offered for my father and in our own hearts. As a fellow believer and as your pastor, I want each of you and your families to have that same consolation and that same knowledge. which is why I ask you to defer to the wisdom of the church, to trust her ancient traditions, and to allow the church to minister to your beloved dead and to your families. When we trust the church, she can bless us. When we let the church follow her customs, God can give us his blessing. God can intercede for our loved ones and give that consolation to each of our families.